First thing we should probably figure out is what we're doing here at 12:30 on a Motzei Shabbos, when many of us would normally, hopefully, be going to sleep at around this time. What is this all about? Just from a very simple halachic perspective, why are we here saying slichos? And the Rama writes in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph Si'if Aleph, Va'omdim ba'ashmores. We wake up early in the morning, or in this case, stay up very late at night. Lomer slichos. Biyom Aleph Shelefnei Rosh Hashanah. To say Slichos on the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. But you may have noted that tonight is in fact not the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. That would be next Sunday when it's in fact going to be Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Vav points out from the Elia Rabbah that we specifically have to say Slichos for a minimum of 4 days in advance, because there's a halacha that a carbon requires bikur. What does it mean that a carbon requires bikur? If you're going to bring a carbon, you have to see to it in advance that the carbon does not have any blemishes, that the carbon does not have any mum, and only then is that carbon eligible to be brought. We set it aside 4 days in advance, so we too, in advance of Rosh Hashanah, we want to make sure that there's no mum on our neshama, that there's no mum in our approach to Avodas Hashem, so we spend 4 days of bikur. We prefer to start on the same day every year, same day of the week every year. It makes it easier to remember. So it's always going to be on a Sunday. But the real halacha is that it's got to be at least 4 days, because we have to search our souls. Now, if you think about that for a moment, we have to search our souls. We have to find where the shortcomings lie, what we've done wrong, what we need to improve on. I understand all of that. That makes a lot of sense, that we would need to do all that before Rosh Hashanah. How exactly does Slichos accomplish that? Slichos is saying the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. It's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tachnunim. If I really wanted to know my shortcomings, you know what I would do? I would ask my wife. Sure, she's got a list, if not a physical list, at least a mental list. If I really wanted to know my shortcomings, I'd have conversations with people who see me from an outsider's perspective. In what way does Slichos accomplish Yud Gimel Midos Vidui, discovering what exactly my shortcomings are? Normally, as many of you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that there's no greater form of Avodas Hashem than to engage in the study of Hashem's Torah. Talmud Torah Keneg Kulam, there are many mitzvos that benefit us in the next world, shorter list of mitzvahs that benefit us in this world as well, but Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Kodesh Baruch Hu's autobiography, it's the neshama of Judaism, it's where everything begins. And yet, amazingly, the Sharei Tshuva, not of Rabbeinu Yonah, but on the Shulchan Aruch, writes in the name of the Birka Yosef, that Yoser Tov B'yamim Elu, Laharbos Slichos V'tachnunim Im Atzibur, Me'lilmon. It's more important to daven more, to say more slichos during these days, than it is to learn. And he goes on to comfort me in something that's been bothering me for a long time, because, you know, working out a shul schedule is very, very hard, and Alicia does a very good job of it. Working out a shul schedule during this time of year, where everyone's still got to catch the same trains, and everyone's still got to get to work, and you're trying to fit the daf yomi in, and you're trying to fit slichos in, and you're trying to fit davening in. How do you make it all happen? So what we normally do is we cut a little bit out of sleep, and we cut a little bit out of the daf, and we cut on both ends, and it always bothered me. During Elul, the daf is shorter. Says the Shari Tshuva, V'chein re'isi l'ktsas rabbanim, she'tamid hayu asukim b'gufay halachos. There are some rabbis that are very involved and interested in learning halacha. V'achiburim in other books. U'b'chodesh elul hayu manichin k'tsas misidram l'lmod girsa v'tachnunim. And in Chodesh Elul, they cut a little bit out of their learning seder in order to daven more, in order to say more slichos. So if Daf Yomi is only 40 minutes, 45 minutes, during Chodesh Elul, it's okay to cut a few minutes off if those moments are going to be spent in Tachnun. Now, some of you might recall, last year I gave an entire Shabbat Shuvah Drasha about the role that Talmud Torah plays in Tshuva, and how perhaps the best way to do Tshuva is through Talmud Torah. If you don't recall, I published it this year in the upcoming Arat Safon, which will be distributed shortly. Find all the Marmakomos. And the case is very compelling. that Talmud Torah is not just a form of tshuva, it is the best form of tshuva. And yet, here's a minhag that tells us, a shari tshuva that tells us, that, you know what, instead of Talmud Torah, engage in tachnunim during Chodesh Elul. This is the time of tshuva. If there's ever a time where Talmud Torah needs to be emphasized again, it should be now, it should be here. And the third kasha. Rav Aaron Cutler, Zichron Levracha, pointed out that as far as the process of tshuva is concerned, you know, it's a four-step process. Aziva sachet, charata, kabbalah la'asid, we abandon the avera, we regret it, we accept never to do it again. Each of those steps is significant and challenging. And then the final step of the process is vidui, where we confess our averas. So tshuva really only gets into full swing during the Aser Tzimei Tshuva. And maybe that's why in Rosh Hashanah we're not up to vidui yet on Rosh Hashanah. There is no vidui in Rosh Hashanah. You know when we really push the vidui? At the culmination of the Aser Tzimei Tshuva, on Yom Kippur. And yet, starting tonight, in advance of Rosh Hashanah, we're going to start clapping. The Hashamnus, the Bagadnus. We're going to start with a vidui, but we shouldn't start with a vidui. Vidui should be the last thing on the list. What's the function of vidui so early in the process of tshuva? It's Varan Kotler's Ha'ara. So I saw in the new Sefer that Rav Yeruchim Olshin, I mentioned it today, Rav Yeruchim Olshin, one of the Lakewood Rashi Yeshiva, put out, where he suggests two approaches to understanding the role that Slichus plays in our lives and how Slichus specifically accomplishes this Bikur. First, he says, it provides us with the opportunity to do not tshuva, but what's a prerequisite to tshuva. You see, before you can abandon the sin, you have to know that the sin exists. You have to have hakara sachet. You can't have aziva sachet if you don't have hakara sachet. So you have to recognize that there is, in fact, an avera there. And that's very hard to do, because people typically don't see flaws in themselves. Everything I do, I have this defense mechanism where I can justify everything I do, and that's how I can stay happy. We've pointed out in the past one of my favorite quotes from any book I've read this whole year from an author, Megan McArdle. The book is called The Upside of Down, where she writes that there's a technical term for people with an especially accurate perception of how attractive and talented and popular they are, and they call that term clinically depressed. If someone really, really takes an honest look at themselves, it can be depressive. So we don't take an honest look. We're trained not to. We don't think of ourselves as sinners. So how do we get through that? How do we find the averos? How do we discover the averos? So we say slichos. Not because the vidui and the slichus is the conclusion of the tshuva process. No, that vidui is coming in Yom Kippur. Because when a person goes through Ashabnu, Bagadnu, Aleph through Taf, he'll hopefully at some point in there realize, wait, is this true of me? Did I do this? Did I not do this? Just talking about it. Talking about averos that we may have done. That might explain why we have to focus on slichos more than on Talmud Torah, even though Talmud Torah is such an effective mechanism of tshuva. When we're up to tshuva, we should focus on Talmud Torah. This is the prerequisite to tshuva. We're not in Aser Tzimei Tshuva yet. We need to first discover that there's what to do tshuva for. So we're going through this process of bikur, this process of discovering all of the averos that we need to do tshuva for. But then Rav Yeruchim Olshin suggests a second approach, based on a notion developed by the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem, Perek Ches. Maharal talks about what a korban is all about. And it doesn't take a Maharal to notice that karav means to be close. And who are we trying to come close to with a korban? Obviously, we're trying to develop a sense of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're doing when we offer a korban. And similarly, the goal of Rosh Hashanah is to achieve a sense of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mabit in Sefer Beis Elokim, Shara Tshuva Perek Aleph, I believe this is quoted in Moshe Bookbinder's article in the upcoming Aratzavon. You'll correct me if it's the wrong bit. I think this one you got. Chakarnu al geder atshuva. So they've analyzed what the definition of tshuva is. Umitzanu nachon v'shalem v'hi kreva l'Hashem me'richuk hachet. If I had to define tshuva, not in 10 chapters like the Rambam did, but in a matter of words, if I had to define tshuva, it is kreva l'Hashem me'richuk hachet. It is coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we've been distanced by the Avera. V'haratzon b'milas kreva, what do I mean by kreva? Hu hayos kavanas hashav b'tshuva l'iskari v'lboro shenisrachik mimenu ba'avro al devarav. Each time we don't do the Ratzon Hashem, we're getting a little further away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's not about wanting to chip away this Avera, that Avera, this little tikkun in my life, that little tikkun in my life. It's big picture. I want to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam again. I feel a sense of distance, and I want to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is supposed to do. So it emerges that the perfect mashal for what we're trying to accomplish in the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah is a karban. Because a karban is kreva l'Hashem. And tshuva is kreva l'Hashem. Put in other words, the way many Talmidim of Soloveitchik pointed out, I think Avri Butler had this in his article in Aretz Tzafon, that it's not about tshuva from, but it's about tshuva to. It's not about what we're leaving as much as it is about what we're going to. We have our eye on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we want to be closer to it. But what is this distance that sin creates? So Yerucham takes it a step further. He says the truth is on the simplest level, a sin is something that sullies our neshama on some level. We're just too messy from Averos to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, if you smell, they're not going to let you into the king. You just got to clean yourself up a little bit. So the sin just makes us dirty. The Rambam writes this in the 7th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Kama ma'ula malas ha'tshuva. How amazing is the quality of tshuva. Emesh ha'yizeh muvdol me'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Previously, this person was separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, avon oseichem o'yum avdilim b'neichem levein elokeichem. Your sins have separated you from Hashem. V'hayom hu mudbak b'shchina. Shenemar v'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. And through tshuva, we're connected, we're reconnected, we're not so dirty anymore. Maybe there's a deeper level of what it means that the sin caused a certain sense of distance and we need to overcome the distance. I think this deeper level is profound and very critical for our whole attitude in our approach to the Yimei Hadin. The Gemara in Erev in Daf Yutes tells us, "Rishayim afilu al pischo shel Gehenim, inam chozim b'tshuva." That the Rishayim, can you imagine? La'achra me'ev esrim, the Rasha goes up. The guy who's done everything wrong goes down. Whatever goes, and he sees the Pesach of Gehenim, and it's not pretty. He sees what's going on in there, and they're about to throw him in. And imagine they don't throw him in, and they say to him, "You want to do tshuva now?" So you'd imagine at that point he would say, oh my God, yes, yeah, I can still do that? For sure. Says the Gemara Nevin, Afilu al pischo shel Gehenim. He sees how ugly it is. He sees how terrible it is. Afilu al pischo shel Gehenim. And he's not shav b'tshuva. He doesn't want to do tshuva. How's that possible? So the answer is actually quite simple. Because tshuva does not emerge from the knowledge that something is wrong. People can know that something is wrong and continue to do it. There are people that know that smoking is going to kill them. And they will tell you, B'peh Mele, I'm going to die from this. Puff. They'll keep on doing it. It's not the knowledge. Intellectually realizing. And the Rasha al pischo shel Gehenim can't deny the fact. He sees Gehenim. He sees it right in front of him. But tshuva is about an entire attitudinal shift. It's about developing she'ifos. It's about developing a genuine desire for good. And that can never change in a moment. That can't happen by just seeing how ugly Gehenna is. He'll see it and he'll say, yeah, but I am who I am. I'm just not going to be any different. This is what I spent my whole life chasing. This is where I'm going. It's not about, again, any particular action, avera. It's about a big picture, about what we yearn for. So how do you correct a misplaced she'ifa? There's a yesod the Sefer HaChinuch has in many places that if we want to change the way we behave, if we want to change our actions, start acting in a certain way, and then achrei ha'maaseh nimshachim ha'levavos. If you start acting in a certain way, your heart will catch up. You start behaving in a certain way. So you know what? We know that come next Sunday, which most of us think, what's next Sunday? It's Erev Rosh Hashanah, but there are at least two people in the room that are thinking, next Sunday, that's the Jets opening day. And we know that you can't be a minute late for that first kickoff, because that's where our she'ifos are. That's what we're looking forward to. That's something we strive for. And, you know, davening is something we do. But if it's not what we strive for, it's not what we look for, it's not what we're looking forward to, an opportunity to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So davening, you come when you come. And you can have a person who, you know, Messiah Lefi Tumo. Someone says, hey, what time is Shachris tomorrow? Are we on the 8:30 schedule for Shabbos or the 8:45 schedule? What difference does it make? I'll come when I come. Because it doesn't matter that I'm there for the opening kickoff. Because that's not where my she'ifos are. I'll do it, nominally. But it's not where my she'ifos are. So what do we do to train ourselves? We wake up early. Earlier than we ever would normally wake up. We wake up early as if we had something really important going on that we would want to wake up for. Or we stay up late at night. As if there was something critical in our lives. And we do it for a week, 4 days, or now a week and a half, or whatever it's going to be. And we behave like it's the most important thing in the world. And by behaving like it's the most important thing in the world, we're hoping that it has an impact. I just received a video in an email tonight. Probably many of you have received it already. If not, you'll get it probably from someone, forwarded to you from someone in the next couple of days. If you don't, email me and I'll send it to you. There's a video a fellow in California put out, telling a story of his aunt and uncle. His aunt and uncle, Aunt Betsy and Uncle Simon, who went to Israel, and they went to Herzliya, and while they were in Herzliya, they went to a restaurant called Meat and Wine Co. Okay, it's a two-story restaurant, and they were seated downstairs, and they said, you know, we'd like to, so they told the waiter, we'd like to go upstairs because, you know, better view. The waiter said, no problem, he reseats them upstairs, and they have a new waiter upstairs. They're kibitzing with the waiter, enjoying themselves on their vacation. And they said to the waiter, what's your name? And the waiter says, my name is Barak. And the woman says, this Betsy says, she just had a feeling. She doesn't know, she just had a feeling. She says to her husband, we need to know what his mother's name is. Find out if his mother's name is Arna. So he calls him back, Barak, what's your mother's name? Is your mother's name Arna? How did you know that? Well, you remember when Operation Protective Edge started, Rav Simcha Cook came up with this great idea where he was going to assign a soldier to different people. In Chutz Laretz, you want to feel like you're a part of the Melchama? Daven for a soldier. Here's your soldier. Daven for him. And this Betsy got the name Barak Ben Orna. And she posted the name in her kitchen. And every single day, she davened for the soldier. And Protective Edge ended, and she continued to daven for the soldier. And the name is embedded in her memory because every day she davens for Barak Ben Orna. And just a few weeks earlier, she thought to herself, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't even know if he's alive. And I'm still davening for him. I'd love to know. I've no idea how to find out, but I'd love to know. There are 7 billion people on this earth. And she goes to Herzliya, to a random restaurant, and he's serving as her waiter. Now, it's a remarkable story of Yad Hashem, and so much so that after they exchanged contact information 3 weeks later, he sent her, you know, I hadn't put on tefillin since my bar mitzvah, but I feel like God is talking to me. This is just too crazy. And I started putting on tefillin again. An amazing story of Yad Hashem. But I took something else out of the story. What I took out of the story is the following. I got a name also. We all heard of Simcha Cook's program. Great, brilliant. Everyone should take a name. So some of us said, that's a great idea of Simcha Cook. What a good Jew. And didn't get a name. Some of us went a step further. We got a name. And we maybe even used it, davened for it for a day or two. Some may have even davened for that name throughout the entire operation. But here's someone who wanted to care so much, who wanted to daven so much, that she just never stopped. It became a priority. And because it became a priority, look what happens. Look at the effects of a little bit of passion in our Yiddishkeit. So we are symbolically up at 1 o'clock in the morning tonight. We are symbolically waking up early every day for this week and next week, because we are showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is our true passion. This is what we believe in. It's not just something that we do. These are our she'ifos. And through that, we'll be able to do a proper bikur of all the movement. And we'll be able to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam and Rosh Hashanah as a true karban.